My name is Jeff Mitchell. Tell you a little bit about me. If we still turn it down a little bit, we got a lot of echo. So I'm one of the frontline physicians. I spent decades as a bedside clinical physician. My career culminated as a medical school faculty, and I pretty much quit clinical work before the COVID pandemic hit. So at the time, I was basically retired, and I had no office, no outpatient practice. I'd been a hospital-based physician, but I wanted to help, and I tried to telemedicine and try to find a way I could fit in. There weren't any openings. At the time, I was planning a trip to Africa to teach. Is that still too loud? Is it okay? All right. I was planning a trip to Africa to teach, and that was March of 2020. And so I started looking very hard at what was going on in Africa. My trip did get canceled, as you can imagine. But along the way, I started looking very long and hard at what was going on in Africa and got very interested in that. And then from there, I posted a couple papers about COVID in Africa and got invited to speak at the first White Coat Conference. So the rest is history and I'm here. I now have 16 months of follow-up data. We've done 16 months of observational epidemiologic study of what has happened in Africa. And this is the current chart. And the red lines are Western countries. The top red line is the United States. It's the United States, United Kingdom, Spain, and Italy. And the green lines at the bottom are six countries in sub-Saharan Africa, the six countries with the most malaria in Africa. They account for some 400 million people and about 50% of all the malaria in the world. This data is staggering. You just do not see data like this anywhere in science. And what this is the age-adjusted death rates, which is more accurate. And what this chart represents is that you are 22 times more likely to die of COVID in the United States of America than in some of the poorest, most malaria endemic countries of sub-Saharan Africa. So let this sink in. This is what I began to notice back in March of 2020, but we now have 16, 17 months following this data, and it's the same. That green line stays the same at the bottom. It stays flat, and it's hardly budged at all. So this is what we're looking at, and the problem, the real issue with this is, have you ever heard our experts tell you about this? Have you ever heard our national experts, the American experts, the world's experts, tell you about this success, this 95% reduction in the death rate in these countries? Would you like to know about something that reduced COVID death rates 95%? Most people would like to know that, and it's been kept secret. So this is just a citation of the first paper I wrote, and we've already talked about that. But this is what was going on at the time. At the time that I began to notice what was going on in Africa and began to write these papers, the world was saying, Africa's going to have a catastrophe. This is the article from the New York Times. They said, Africa is intertwined with China. That's true. Africa had thousands, millions of people come from China and bring COVID virus there potentially, and it just didn't happen. But there was a lot of fear going on. There was all these rumors that it would happen. This is from a study in Turkey. They predicted 3.3 million Africans would die of COVID. You'll see this chart again in a minute. So we came to the first frontline conference last year, and we're here to celebrate the anniversary. And in 16 months, the evidence strongly suggests that there's actually two drugs in these African countries, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this. There's a paper in the works about this, but it turns out it was Malarone to prevent malaria in arriving travelers, and a second drug called artemisinin, which is just widely taken in these countries. Both of these drugs, it turns out, is almost certainly, there's extremely strong evidence that these two drugs, like hydroxychloroquine, have a crossover effect and treat COVID as well as malaria. That's the bottom line, and that's the reason for this success. Again, have you heard about that from Dr. Fauci? I don't think so. This is what I first noticed at the very beginning. This chart over on the left, those were the death rates in what is Spain, Italy, and the United States. And then there's these death rates for the African countries. They're like zero. They're hidden in the zero line. The death rates were so small initially, this was the first thing I noticed. They were so small, they were hidden in the zero line. I couldn't even get them to show up on a chart. That's how big the difference was. And so if I tweak the chart a little bit to try to make the African countries show up, then this chart really would be about three or four stories high. And you couldn't even, we'd have to add more screens and knock out the ceiling to show the chart. Or I could do a logarithmic graph, but then I'd have to explain to everybody what a logarithmic graph was, and that brings its own problems. So this is how big those differences were, and these were the differences we saw at the very, very beginning, and why we started with these studies. So then I came back to the second White Coat Summit in October, and we brought some of this data back, and we looked at it again, and it was still going on, and is still going on today. And again, this supports early treatment with hydroxychloroquine, because hydroxychloroquine is what? It's an anti-malarial agent. So it turns out that not only hydroxychloroquine, but probably these other anti-malarial agents treat COVID as well. And that's what we've learned. The experts were still saying that this was going to be a terrible tragedy in Africa. And no doubt Africa has a lot of problems and a lot of risks. But the fact is, and I've seen people nodding their heads here, the African people that I've talked to tell me, we just don't see it much here. And these are some of the reasons why. But that information is not getting back to us, and it becomes even more important. We're going to see in a minute. So people began to notice this around the world. This is a chart from the people, the C19 study group. And these people are fantastic as far as I'm concerned. They've just done an incredible job collating data and all the different studies, both of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. But this is one of their charts from early on, and they begin to note that countries that used hydroxychloroquine did better, and countries that didn't use hydroxychloroquine didn't do so well. And so as time went on, we changed the graph a little bit to represent, to look a little bit more like this graph. And so that's how we started to create this graph that showed the longitudinal change instead of just the one-time difference. And this is like the first graph I showed you in the current graph. But it shows you right there where the where we wrote the first paper. The Western deaths were just starting to take off. And in fact, in the months since then, they've gotten far worse. So we had the early graphs, we saw the big differences, and as we follow it through time, we see the same thing. So this is the question, why? Why? Why is it so much better there? And I've already alluded to that, that they use these anti-malarial drugs in these countries. So I mentioned this paper from Turkey early on. They said there are going to be 3.3 million deaths in Africa. How many deaths do you think there were? Not 3.3 million. Not 2 million. So when I checked this a few days ago, on the 19th, a week ago, 158,000 deaths. So there are only 5% the number of deaths in Africa that the so-called experts predicted. And this is consistent with what we found in our study too. This is an interesting reality. So we talked about how the pundits said Africa's going to be terrible. And I'm wondering what happened to my time. They said Africa is going to be terrible and all these catastrophes. And finally, the experts began to admit that's just not the case. The one I like best is this Professor Salim Abdul Karim, who was an expert minister in the in COVID in Africa. And he said, most African countries do not have a peak. He says, I don't understand why. I'm completely at sea. This is an expert opinion. Another expert, Dr. Stephen Phillips, who was formerly an epidemiologist at the CDC. And he wrote an article that was published in The Hill. And he went on and on, and he had all these superlatives to talk about what happened in Africa. He said, it's a stunning observation. He said, the numbers there are exponentially lower. It's an amazing performance, and it's a spectacular success in Africa. He says, the superior outcomes in COVID in Africa are no longer hypothetical. This is a guy who's formerly an expert with the CDC. So all this success in Africa, again, we're not hearing about it in the United States. But this is what we've seen, and you've heard me say this, and these are the numbers. You're 22 times more likely to die of COVID in the United States than in sub-Saharan Africa, or 95% reduction in the COVID death rates in sub-Saharan Africa compared to the United States. This leads us to something else, which becomes very important. And I want to say one more thing here before I move on to the next section. And I want to be as transparent as possible. I want to give you the bad news that I know about. This is the worst thing that I know about, that I've heard. And just in the last week or two, they've said, oh, the deaths are up in Uganda. It's terrible in Uganda. And it may get terrible in Uganda. I don't know. A month or so ago, they were saying deaths were up in India and it was terrible, and they were up, but they're still far lower than in the United States. But in Uganda, it turns out, I actually went and looked at it, and for 5 or 6 days, the daily death rate went up above the United States daily death rate for about 5 or 6 days, and then it went back down. And there you see it right there on the graph, the little green, that little spike is what happened in Uganda. And overall, the blue graph, I think it is, on the top is United States. The green graph on the bottom is Uganda. So the real question is, why for 15 or 16 months did Uganda have almost no deaths at all on that green graph on the bottom? And then after months and months and months and months and months, it spiked up a little bit. Will it go way up? I can't predict the future. It didn't. It went up a little bit. It went back down. And it's up just a little bit right in there, a little bit of a blip. And so the question is, well, what happened in Uganda in the last few weeks that might cause this? Maybe vaccinations. I don't know. Maybe some other Western assistance. Well, this leads me to the thing I talked about last October, was upside down medicine and how everything is upside down. And a couple of other people have alluded to this. But we're experiencing the worst pandemic in 100 years. And what we say is that early outpatient treatment is illegal. This is crazy. This is not how we take care of people in medicine. So this is how we take care of an infection. We have antibiotics of one kind, antivirals, antibacterials, whatever we're going to use. And we have adjunctive treatment. So we debride wounds, we use warm soaks or warm compresses or other things, or maybe we use 14th century lockdowns or masks or vaccines. Okay, fine, if you want to use those things. But you don't cut out the anti-infective treatment. And I say that that's like a train track with only one rail. I mean, it's just complete nonsense. This is medicine upside down. And in my state, we had criminalization. And I've talked about this before. The attorney general, the federal prosecutor said it was criminal. And it even made national news in the law world. And so these are milestones in prohibition. And we had the Lancet Gate article, which was a complete fraud. And that's what led to cutting out of all the research on hydroxychloroquine back in May of last year. And then this information started to come out. We started to see the same kind of thing. Countries that use it did better. Countries that didn't use hydroxychloroquine did worse. But this is the real reality, and this is the bottom line, and the most important thing in this talk, is even if you take Africa away, forget about everything we've looked at in Africa. Let's just look at the United States and the rest of the world. And this is the real tragedy, because this is a chart that comes from Our World in Data, and it shows that the death rate in the United States is about four times what it is in the rest of the world. Are our leaders telling you that? Are they telling you how poorly the United States science, CDC, FDA, NIH, how poorly they're doing compared to the rest of the world? And I first noticed this in January. Now, 6 months later, it's still the same. And so the real question is, why do our leaders keep this from us? We're not alone in noticing this. This is a website called C19 Legacy. This is actually a counter. They're counting the unnecessary deaths from banning hydroxychloroquine. You can go find that website and watch that counter progress. But this, if you take nothing home from this talk, this is it. You can talk to anyone about this chart. You can talk to Tony Fauci about this chart. Ask him this question. Why is it that American science has done so poorly compared to the rest of the world? They tell you to follow the science. Their science is not doing so well. I'm going to go over just a couple minutes because I'm going to drive this point home. What is our world in data? We get used to all this information coming from the internet, and we don't know what it is and how accurate it is. You may know this. I learned this fairly recently. Our world in data, I looked it up. What's the source? It comes from Oxford University. It's their massive data project to improve the whole world. Oxford University. England. Oxford University is the oldest university in the English-speaking world. It was founded in 1069. It's been around for a while. Got a pretty decent reputation. All right, maybe you don't trust the Brits. Okay? Let's look a little closer to home. How about Johns Hopkins? Anybody here ever heard of Johns Hopkins?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody here not looked at the Johns Hopkins website during COVID? I mean, a lot of us look at it almost every day. We've all seen that little picture with all the red dots of the world and everything else. So it's Johns Hopkins, one of our best university. And in fact, on their website, they even tell us they're the best. There's that little logo that says we're the top ranked in the nation. But we all look at Johns Hopkins. And so I took this data from July 14th. And I'm going to ask you, maybe not literally, but I'm going to ask you, just bear with me a second, do a little math. Two math problems, third grade math. Why don't you do some division? Go to the Johns Hopkins website. Take the U.S. deaths versus the U.S. population. Take the world deaths. You got to subtract out the U.S. deaths. So it's all the world deaths minus U.S. deaths. And we're going to divide that. So here it is. Here's our math problem. And I'm sorry for this. I don't know why this is running over like this because I really didn't do it on my slides. So I'll walk you through that clearly. You can work through this math. You can look at this slide. You can do it on your phone right now if you want to. But you crunch these numbers. And when I did this about a week ago, so the world deaths, when you subtract out the U.S. deaths, it was about 3.5 million. There's about 7.5 billion people in the world. You run these numbers, and the U.S. death rate in deaths per million is 1842. The world death rate in deaths per million is 455. You can divide that, right? It's four. Four times as many deaths per million in the United States compared to the world. Here's the question. This green line is the predicted U.S. death rate. So if people in the United States died at that same rate as people in the rest of the world, roughly 450 per million, that's what we expect. It's a bad disease. Don't let anyone misunderstand me. This is a bad disease. It's killed a lot of people. But what it should have killed is, in our country, would be 461 deaths per million would be 150,000 people. How many has it killed? You guys have phones. You've looked at Hopkins. It's 610 plus today, 612 maybe. I haven't looked today. That gap, that's unnecessary deaths in the United States under current medical leadership. Why? All right, I've run over a little bit. Here's the issue. These folks, they haven't done such a great job. Okay? These were the folks that have been running the show and leading to those apparent unnecessary deaths. So with all their lockdowns and their masks and their prohibition of early treatment, this is the key. This is why a prohibition of early treatment has led to a death rate that's 300% higher in the U.S. than the rest of the world, or four times. And why? Here's a little clue why that kind of stuff happens. This is Dr. Hahn. He was the head of the FDA. So in May of last year, he banned hydroxychloroquine as head of the FDA. And he said, so they had to ban hydroxychloroquine so they could have vaccines. And then what did Dr. Hahn do? He went to work for Moderna. That's the truth. This might be a clue why we have a problem. All right, I'll quit there. These are just some thoughts I have.
I find this topic really fascinating, and I want to ask you a question. It's a spontaneous question. He hasn't heard this question. So last year when America's Frontline Doctors, we actually went to Washington a few times. We didn't meet with Chairman Hahn. However, we met with Dr. Birx, and we met with other people. One of the things we were working on was making hydroxychloroquine over the counter. You knew that, right? I just, as a doctor, right? Hydroxychloroquine, right? It's all over the world.
Right.
It's safe.
Right.
And so is that the net message, what you're saying, is that if we had been able to get hydroxychloroquine over the counter like they have in much of the world, we wouldn't see this?
Absolutely. That's the way to look at it. I mean, the contrast was they banned it. They actually made it a criminal offense in many areas for a doctor to prescribe it, let alone have it be over the counter. But it's true in these African countries, you get sick, and oftentimes you don't even have to go to a doctor. You go and get a malaria medicine. So if they would have made hydroxychloroquine over-the-counter in the United States, that would have taken care of most of this.
Right. And we're going to touch on again later today, and you might be interested in this, that the reason I was so interested in making it over-the-counter was because I think that there's a lot of obstruction from the pharmacists, a lot of obstruction of the doctors themselves didn't know. They had been propagandized. That's why we were really so interested in having it over the counter. We just saw this as a problem, and it was devastating to me when I saw that Dr. Hahn then had this financial arrangement with Moderna. So I just want to thank you so much for bringing this information to light.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's a